Good morning, Kent. I'm Cal Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Wednesday, July 29, 2026. Here is your weather for Dodge County, MN. Today, a high near 86 degrees, mostly sunny then patchy smoke. Tonight, a low near 67 degrees, partly cloudy. Now for Cal's market read. Overnight, corn slipped about 2 cents, and beans slipped about 12 cents. Recent trend, over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have eased. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why. Cutting the other way. Demand still reads firm per tri-state neighbor. Red Angus mama surprises family. Honest truth. The take does not hand us one clean reason today. So take this as our best read. Not gospel. Stocks point higher into the open. S&P futures up about 0.5%. A firmer take eases the borrowing and input cost mood your lender watches. Though it does not move your cash bid by itself. Now. Here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. MDARD updates commercial fertilizer bulk storage regulation. Michigan's commercial fertilizer bulk storage facilities collectively store over 75 million gallons of fertilizer, making comprehensive, up-to-date standards essential to protecting our natural resources from accidental spills, said Mike Phillip, director of MDARD's Bureau of Environment and Sustainability. Working directly with bulk storage firms and industry leaders, the department identified opportunities to modernize the regulation to reflect current technologies, operational practices and environmental safeguards. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, in partnership with the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, MDARD, is providing funding for agricultural producers and landowners to implement conservation practices in the Western Lake Erie Basin, WLEB, in anticipation of the upcoming growing season. Farmers. Story 2. Red Angus mama surprises family. Granddaughter Aspen Schumann feeds Clementine and Cleo while Buck explores in the background, and mom enjoys her mineral and grain. Their family farm, Schumann Cattle Company, is the home of new triplet Red Angus calves. Later generations learn from the stories, and ancestors live on in a tightly woven fabric of family farming, in addition to working with his. Story 3. Ohio makes a generational commitment to agriculture. For all of us who care deeply about Ohio agriculture, this really is an exciting moment, said Kathan A. Through hands-on learning, interactive experiences, and conversations with farmers and industry partners, we have an opportunity to show fairgoers of all ages not only where their food comes from, but the people, innovation and stewardship that make it happen. CFAES, Ohio Farm Bureau, and OTA continue to be essential partners in bringing the facilities to life, as has the public investment that is making the work possible. Ohio Farm Bureau partnered with Ohio Agriculture. Story 4. Tipton County's Austin Henderson, fungal diseases and water hemp creating challenges for crops. According to USDA's Crop Progress Report from Monday, statewide ratings pegged 63% of corn and soybeans in good to excellent condition. The yards were starting to get brown, tar spot, for the most part. What the guys have seen and what we have seen, it seems like it is below the ear leaf at this point, Henderson observes, adding that proactive fungicide applications have been a priority for local growers aiming to protect their yield potential. With sound agronomic management, solid stand counts, and timely late season rains, Indiana farmers are well positioned to finish the season strong. Story 5. Farm expenses climb again. U.S. production costs hit $490.3 billion in 2025, says USDA according to a newly released USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, NAS, report. The national average farm production expenditure rose 3.1% to $263.955 per farm. The largest expenses for grain and row crop producers centered on labor, $30.8 billion, farm services, $30.5 billion, rent, $28.8 billion, and fertilizer, lime, and soil conditioners, $28.3 billion. Fuel expenses ticked upward slightly to $15.6 billion overall, as input costs remain stubbornly high heading further into 2026. Producers continue to sharpen their pencils, focusing heavily on operational efficiency to protect profit margins. Story 6. Wahpeton Value Added Chemical Company asks for nearly $300,000 tax break to start research lab in Fargo. The company based in Wahpeton, North Dakota, plans to construct a research and development laboratory at 342 42nd Street. Valley Processing plans to invest $15 million into the project, he said. The policy that's being referenced is an in-depth review happening this fall, said Mayor Josh Bashi, who also sits on the committee. Term expires June 2030. Contact 701-241-1310. Jay Bashi at forgund.gov. Term expires June 2028. Contact 701-715-3269. Jay Strand at forgund.gov. Term expires June 2028. Contact 701-831-5915. M. Turnberg at forgund.gov. Term expires June 2030. Contact 701-241-1310. N. Gullickson at forgund.gov. Term expires June 2030. Contact 701-241-1310. C. Peterson at forgund.gov. Story 7. Lean Hogs. The market has a slightly positive tilt with the close over the swing pivot. The near-term upside target is at 103.85, the Hightower report said. Commodity pressure continues today with crude oil still sinking, and that may result in additional hog market weakness this morning. But TH. Story 8. Buttercow unveiled in newly renovated dairy products building. This year, visitors are not only seeing a new Buttercow display, but also experiencing it inside a newly renovated dairy products building that offers a fresh look at one of the fair's longest-standing traditions. Crabtree said the display requires around 2,000 pounds of butter each year. The relocation of the butter sculpture into the central building where it's in a theater-style setting, Higgins said, allows visitors to better experience the exhibit. Visitors can still enjoy the iconic butter cow, dairy exhibits and milkshakes they have come to expect, but now in a facility designed to better accommodate growing crowds and improve comfort during the summer fair season. Story 9. Governor Larry Roden wins South Dakota gubernatorial GOP primary runoff. Roden became governor in January 2025. After he was promoted from lieutenant governor following former governor Roden's triumph was made all the more remarkable due to the fact that Doden beat him by a significant margin last month, taking 30.6% of the vote compared to Roden's 25.2%. He argued he had the proven track record of uniting Republicans from all factions. Doden, in contrast, contrasted himself as a bold outsider conservative, who was seeking to oust a career politician without the constituents' best interests at heart. The candidates who failed to advance to the runoff saw the vast majority of their supporters flock to Roden, ultimately dooming the political outsider. Story 10. Senate confirms Jay Clayton as Director of National Intelligence, attorney who served as chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission under the first Trump administration, does not have the broad foreign. And now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. The banker said, "When will you pay back the operating note?" The farmer said, "As soon as the combine pays back the dealer." Here is Cal's quiz. When the Rural Electrification Act was signed on May 11, 1935, what fraction of U.S. farms had electricity? A. 3%. B. 11%. C. 33%. D. 75%. And the answer, about 11%. By 1953, 90% of U.S. farms had electricity. The cooperative model still serves rural America. Your local rural electric cooperative is a direct descendant. Source. USDA Rural Utilities Service Historical Record. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields, and thanks for letting MI Farm AI ride along this morning.